Most of us here this morning are pretty comfortable with the life that we are living. Slowly and gradually, we are making changes and trying to become what God would have us to be. But oftentimes, it takes a special event to cause us to make major changes. The death of a loved one, the news about a bad health problem or a financial setback or something that shakes us and causes us to truly desire to make a serious change in our lifestyle. And if we don't do that as God's people, then we really stagnate and we don't really grow as God would have us to do. And so one of the responsibilities that God has given to a preacher is to come up with ways to motivate people to change with urgency. And that's what I like about this first day of the year, because it's a day where we are finishing up one day and we are starting another day, but we are also finishing up a month and starting another month. But for some reason, when we finish a year and we start another year, that causes people to want to make some changes. So rather than waiting for circumstances, I think it's important that we create those circumstances in our own heart. We can't afford to wait for some event that may not come for another 5 years or 10 years, where we finally tell ourselves, you know, I need to be working harder at this, because when I stand before God on the judgment day, I want to be right with Him. I want to have made these sacrifices. I want to have become the kind of individual that we want to or need to be. And so I like to use this day to try to create a sense of urgency. I don't know how successful it is, because, as I say, most of us are pretty comfortable. And oftentimes it takes something pretty strong to get us to make major changes in our life. And so we often talk about wanting to go on a diet. We often talk about wanting to get more exercise and get back into shape. But it often takes something pretty serious to get us going. And so I like this verse in 2 Timothy where Paul tells Timothy as a preacher to preach the word. The charge is before God, before the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing. So the urgency here is the resurrection and the judgment day. When we stand before God and God goes through our lives, he's going to be looking for these things. He's going to be looking for our zeal. He's going to be looking for our faithfulness, for our dedication, for our sacrifices. We can't just go through life floating along without trying, to take the word of God and do something with it. So verse 2 says, preach the word. Be ready, or some translations have, be urgent, be diligent, be extra forceful in season and out of season, convincing, rebuking, exhorting with all longsuffering and teaching. So that's the mandate that God has given to me in my personal life and in my opportunities to guide and lead and direct and try to motivate each one of us here. And that's why on the first day of the year, I try to make everybody realize, you know, sometimes we make New Year's resolutions, but this is another year. And we need to make some changes, brethren. We really do. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, if you go back to chapter 11, it starts with Abel. And then it moves to Enoch, and then Noah, then Abraham, then Sarah, then Moses' parents. Each one of them came to a point in their life where they made a decision. God told Cain and Abel to offer a sacrifice. Abel made the decision. I'm going to do it exactly the way God has asked me to do it. Now, how many of us are charting our life like that? I want to do things exactly the way God wants them done. I want to feel the way God wants me to feel about all of the things in the scriptures, moral things, doctrinal things, truth, urgency, We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Today's a good day to think about laying aside a weight, something that's holding me back, something that I know God doesn't want me to do, or something that I know God wants me to do, and I've always planned and made goals and set plans, but it still haven't moved. We need to lay aside those weights and run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, there's two ways to run a race. There's a jog, and then there's a run to win. And Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Now, most of us, we know we can't win, so we don't run like we want to win. We know that if we're going to enroll in a race, that there are going to be people who are better than we are. And, well, then what's Paul's point? Paul's point is, as he continues on in verse 24, run in such a way that you may obtain it. Now, Paul's made a subtle shift. He's moved from the physical race to the spiritual race. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, we need to run with endurance the race that is set before us. Are we running in such a way that we can receive the prize of eternal life? One of the reasons that I put out an annual Bible reading list every year, in the back corner there, in the very top three, there is a list. If you will read what's on that list every day, one is Old Testament to New Testament. Another one is an Old Testament and a New Testament on the same day. And the other one is a chronological where you start time-wise and go through the scriptures like that. We can't change if we aren't subjecting ourselves to the truth. And I wish I could say that I can, but I cannot get to everything that you need to know in a timely way. I wish I could. I don't know what your needs are. I don't know what your struggles are. I try to pick things that I think are going to be helpful to you. I know sometimes I succeed, sometimes I fail. Sometimes you go home saying, what was the point of that lesson? That lesson didn't do for anything for me at all. Well, that wasn't my intent. My intent is to get the lessons out there that are going to be helpful for you. But you have a responsibility too. And that's why if we're going to run the race, we need to get the instruction manual out and find out exactly what God wants us to do. And if you've never done it before, then this would be a good year to say, I'm going to read the Bible through this year. When I get to the end of this year, I'm going to have read from Genesis to Revelation. Not because we want to be able to check things off, but because we're gaining a heart of wisdom. Because we're seeing things in the scriptures that are specifically written for us, that sometimes the preacher never quite gets to. He never quite gets to the things that you need, but it's not entirely the preacher's responsibility to do that. Now, he goes on to say, as we keep going here, verse 25, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate or self-controlled in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we do it for an imperishable crown. So Paul is giving a parable here, a parable in which he is giving a physical reality that illustrates a spiritual truth. Not everyone who runs this race is going to win the prize. Only those who prove their love, their faith, their fidelity to the Lord. Verse 26, Paul says, here's how I run. I don't run with uncertainty. I set a goal, and I run toward it. I don't just say, well, today I'm going to do this, and today I'm going to... I don't run with uncertainty. We'll read a little bit more about this in Philippians chapter 3. This is an example for all of us. As I said at the beginning of the lesson, most of us just kind of drift along until something happens. We don't really see the need to continually be making changes, to be making changes and growing and changing and developing. Verse 26, I run like this. I don't run with uncertainty. When I fight, I don't shadow box. I want to win. I want to win. Now, he's not talking about a physical battle here. He's talking about a battle within himself. Verse 27, I buffet my body. I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul had a concern here. He knew that we have to be faithful. And faithfulness is based on my abilities, my opportunities. You might see someone else and say, that person is really growing. And God is saying, compared to what they could be doing, they're not doing very much. So when we look at our lives and we think about going before God on the judgment day, and we're 1 year closer to it, are we ready? Would you want the Lord to come? Would you like to die today? Do you think that going before the Lord right now would end in your eternal salvation or would end in your eternal condemnation? If you answer either way, there may be some changes that need to be made. Moses tried to create urgency in the people. He knew that people procrastinate, people get busy with other things, people follow after their own desires. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go into possess. This is a good time to think about this. Now, he goes on to say this, if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. This was written thousands of years ago, and yet it is just as pertinent and just as practical and just as important today. Every morning we wake up with choices. Choices to keep God's law, to make sacrifices, to put him first, and to end the day with God looking down with pleasure and delight, saying, well done, good and faithful servant. At the same time, we're faced with choices. Our lusts, our interests, our selfishness, physical things, priorities that are only important to us but not to God, leaving aside those things that really matter. And so passages like this call us back. They call us to think about what's really important to me, my physical life or my spiritual life, my responsibilities and obligations to God, or the things that I want to do for myself. Joshua also forced them to make that choice. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river. We certainly don't have that today, but we do have those habits, emotions, desires that were created before we became a Christian. We have to make the choice. Am I going to serve that or am I going to put that to death? Am I going to serve God? Am I going to put his commandments? What do we want to do with this year? It's a brand new year. First day, we have 365 days, 364 and some change to go. What are we going to do? Last week we talked about how you used last year and how do you feel about the choices that you made. At the end of this year, I'll ask the same question, just like Joshua did, just like Moses did, just like Paul did. Where are our priorities? Peter had several things to say. I'm going to put them all up here. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind. Well, that means I have to suffer in the flesh. I have to tell myself, no, I can't give in to this. I have to change things. I have to make sacrifices. Arm yourself. If Jesus suffered for you, can't you suffer for him? If Jesus left heaven to come down to earth making all kinds of sacrifices for us, we need to arm ourselves with the same mind. I need to be more like Christ. Verse 2, no longer live the rest of our time or his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime doing the will of the Gentiles. So do I have any goals this year? Have I reached it already? Am I already everything I know I should be? Or are there still some areas I need to make some changes? Well, let's make some goals. Let's make some plans. Let's set a course. We don't want to run uncertainly. Or uncertain. Yes, uncertainly. With uncertainty. I have a goal. I'm running toward it. When I reach it, I set another goal. That's how Paul said he does it. First Peter 4:7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. Several times in the scriptures, Paul says you need to watch your prayers. Last week you prayed. Are you happy with the amount of time you put, with the things you prayed about, with the commands God has given versus the what we're doing with them? Verse 17, the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? So, urgency. This isn't our life. We were bought with a price. Our life belongs to God, and God is going to make an assessment. Are you worthy to spend eternity with me? The sacrifices that we make will determine that. Here's Paul. Paul's got to be at least in his 50s, maybe in his 60s by now. He was converted just after maybe 37, 38 AD. Now it's 61 to 63. So it's been about 30 years, 30, 25 years. So Paul is an old man. And yet, as an old man, here's his attitude. This is how he ran, not uncertainly. This is how he fought. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected. I know I lack. I fall short. But I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not consider myself to have apprehended or to have received. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul is on a mission. He's very intent. He is very focused. Just like the Olympic contender, he has a goal, he has a plan, and he's working his plan. Now that's the true nature of Christianity. Matter of fact, look at verse 15. Let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. So my maturity as a Christian will be based on whether, as I read what Paul says, I say, amen, 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 amen. That's me. That's how I feel. That's what I'm doing. I'm just like Paul. As many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything else you think otherwise, God will reveal this to you. Maybe this sermon today is God's way of revealing to you that your mindset is not quite right yet. If in anything you are otherwise minded, then what? That you have the same mind I do. That you have not already attained. That you are not yet perfect. That you do not have the right to kick back and sit in your easy chair. We need to press on. Paul's in his 60s saying, I'm going to press on. And verse 13, I don't consider myself to have apprehended. Paul was never comfortable. This life is not the time to be comfortable. This life is the time to work. This life is the time, you know, we have the weekend and we have the work week. This life is God's work week. The rest comes in the end. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, he says, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, but not in this life. As many of us as are mature have this mind. Now verse 16, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example. What example? Well, the example that starts in verse 12. I haven't attained. I'm not perfect. I want to press on. We can't be complacent. We can't be procrastinating. We have a goal. We need to run toward it. Whatever you have made up your mind, I need to accomplish before this life is over, you need to start setting goals to accomplish that. Verse 17, brethren, join in following my example. And note those who so walk as you have us for an example. So look out around in the congregation and find those people who are acting like Paul. So the responsibility of the Christian is to set goals and make plans. Now, if we haven't been doing that, it doesn't matter that today is the first day of the year. This is just an opportunity. This is my opportunity to try to create a sense of urgency. We've spent a year. We have a new year. We have an opportunity to change. We have an opportunity to set new goals. Do this knowing the time. It is high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. God wants us, not by grace, but by effort and toil, to become pure and to become holy. When we're baptized into Christ, we are as pure and holy as we could ever be because of the grace of God. But God says, I don't want you resting on that. I want you to make it yours. I want you to struggle with the time I've given you to try to work your way back to what I will ultimately expect of you at the resurrection. And so, let us walk properly. Not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Don't have things around your home that you can use to provide for those fleshly lusts. Cut them off. Get them out of your life. If your hand causes you to stumble, Jesus said, I'm not going to have any sympathy for you. You cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life without that hand than with that hand, because you didn't cut it off, to be cast into hell. And he says the same thing about your foot, and he says the same thing about your eye. So we need to keep things in perspective. Our outer man is decaying, but our inward man is being renewed day by day, but only if we're working at it, brethren. It's not going to be renewed day by day unless we're repenting every day and seeking that renewal. Unless we are, as Paul says, bringing our body as a living sacrifice, no longer being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm going to be renewed day by day if I read my Bible every day and I see the things that I need to make changes and I start renewing and I start trying to make that what it ought to be. Verse 17, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a more and more exceedingly great eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. Maybe that's the most important thing I could do this year, is change my perspective. Start looking at things from an eternal perspective. This world is not my home. So build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand. There's an eternal component to every decision we make. Things we commit that could bring eternal death. Things we change that could bring eternal life. This life is an amazing and terrifying plethora of choices. Choices leading to eternal life that make me grow every day. Choices that are leading me to eternal destruction. There are things that are seen. And then beyond those things that are seen are the spiritual realities of what they actually signify. And if I want to be renewed, again, back to verse 16, our inward man is renewed day by day. I have to go through the scriptures. Because if I don't, I'm never going to see anything new. And I can't be renewed because I'm still in the old things. So as Peter said, seeing these things are thus to be dissolved, this physical body of mine, my home, my life, my lifestyle, my goals, my plans, anything in this life, it's going to be dissolved. It's a waste of time. Like bodily exercise, it's only profitable for a little. Godliness, on the other hand, exercising yourself to godliness is profitable for all things. Have we even created those exercises yet? I think most of us know if we want to lose weight, we'd have to walk or ride a bike or swim. If we want to lift weights, we have to figure out what parts of our body we want to strengthen, and then we find the skill set and the exercises. What about godliness? Have we sat down and thought about what could I do this week that would make me more godly? And then start making plans, like Paul said, setting goals, not running uncertainly. These things are going to be dissolved. I want to exercise myself to godliness. What are those exercises? Well, clearly Bible reading would be a spiritual exercise toward godliness, praying, worship, pondering and meditating, sacrificing, repenting. These are all things that are exercises. And then we have to make plans. I'm just going to throw these up here because not all of them apply to each one of us individually. Some of them do, some of them don't. Putting off the old man and putting on the new man is a very specialized personal thing. My old man is not your old man. My new man is going to be happening as I put to death the old man. Well, the old man is based on choices. Put on the new man, put off the old man. How about relationships with our brethren? I was hungry. You gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you came and visited me. And when the righteous say, Lord, when did we ever do that to you? Jesus will say, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of my brethren, fellow people in the church, you did it to me. Hospitality, given to hospitality, he says. Evangelism, being ready always to give a defense to any man who asks. Buying up opportunities. Becoming a teacher. When by reason of time you ought to be teachers. Someone teaches you, needs to teach you again. Reading and learning the scriptures. Praying without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Do we see a lack here? Do we see a goal that needs to be set? Do we need a plan? Brethren, when we stand before God, God's going to be able to say, you know, you heard this sermon. And maybe just for a few moments you said, you know, I need to work on this. But where did he go from there? Putting on the armor of God. Adding to your faith, virtue and knowledge and self-control. Removing the works of the flesh. Equipping ourselves for the work of ministry. That's just a small portion. Do you see a goal here that maybe you've overlooked? I run. I have not yet attained, but one thing I do, I press on to the goal of the upward call of God. These are the new things. If you want to renew your mind, these are the things that will do it. And the reason that I'm preaching on this today is because one of these days the Lord's going to ask you about it. And as I said at the beginning, it's my responsibility as a preacher to be urgent in season and out of season. I try to find those things that you need. But brethren, we've got to be able to see things clearly. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth. And let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. God doesn't mind if we take time to enjoy our lives, to have hobbies, to enjoy recreational activities, to develop ourselves so we can be successful on our job. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But in the back of your mind, never forget that God is going to bring you into judgment, and he's going to look at all those choices and all those decisions, and he's going to say, you squandered your life on yourself. Or he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. The time will come when we have nothing left to give to the Lord. When we're sick, when we're old, when we have nothing left. Before those days come, God says, make some choices, make some plans, set some goals. Execute your plans and look back and say to yourself, here's where I was, here's where I am. It was an upward call. I grew, I developed, I changed, I renewed. I made choices. I backed up and went a different way. I destroyed, I added, I put on. Remember your Creator, because the end is coming. Make me to know my end. Do not think that you can just live through this life forever and ever and ever. You can't. No one has. No one will. Make me to know my end and the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. There's too much pride in the world today. Too many people who think that things are just going to continue on and on and on. Prosperity is just going to go on and on and on. This life is going to be wonderful. It's a lie. We are frail. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor. Every man walks about like a shadow. They busy themselves in vain, heaps up riches, and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Now, do we, you know, we talk about singing and making melody in our hearts. Can we make melody to this? Is this something that we never think about unless we read the scripture, or we never think about it because we just don't look at life that way? Because we don't look at the things that are not seen. Because we're not thinking about the fact that these things are going to be dissolved. Because we are not renewing our minds and we are not putting forth the effort. Now again, it's my responsibility as a preacher, and it's my responsibility to myself to remind us all of these things so that we can make the necessary changes that need to be made. We finish our years like a sigh. We talked a lot about this verse last week, but I think it's important to put it in perspective for this year. As we are living this year, we don't know what day we might be called home. The days of our lives are 70 years, or by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Yet the best you can hope for is only labor and sorrow. You know, when you're a young person, you look at all the things that you're going to be able to accomplish, and life just seems so full of challenges. But when you reach 60 or 80 and you look back on your life and you realize most of the goals I set were crushed because of unforeseen circumstances that I never had any thought of. Their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off. We fly away. That's the heart of wisdom. At some point in my life, I have to start looking at things like this, or I'm never going to want to make the changes that need to be made, and I'm just going to drift along year after year after year, and I'm going to come before the Lord on the judgment day, and the Lord is going to say, I did everything I could, but you didn't measure up. Teach us to number our days. Every day we have an opportunity to accomplish something. And the more things we accomplish along the way, the further and higher the upward call of God will be. Now, we saw this already, but I want to look at the whole verse in context now. Since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for, which means looking forward to, and hastening with anticipation, I wish it would hurry up and come, the coming of the day of God. The second coming of Christ. Did we think about it at all this year? Did it have any impact at all on any choices we were making, that the Lord could come back today? And that there's things I need to change right now. There's things I need to repent of right now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, right now. And God's watching for that. He's interested in that. Looking for and hastening, because of which the heavens will be dissolved and the elements will melt with fervent heat. And then he goes on to say, we look for a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. These all died in faith, the Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 11. Not having received the promises, but confessing that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They that say such things make it manifest that they are seeking a homeland. And if they had wanted to go back from the place they came from, they would have had an opportunity, as we see Saul did, as we see Judas did, as we see various individuals who went back. But we are not of those who shrink back unto perdition. And God is not ashamed to be called the God of those individuals who are not happy where they are, who are not content with what we've accomplished. We want more. We're willing to struggle. We're willing to put forth effort. That's what Paul did. That's what Jesus did. That's what Moses, Joshua, a great cloud of witnesses, of which I want to be one. And I know most of you here, if not all of you here, want to be one. And so sermons like this are simply an effort to strum the chords, to stoke the fire, to make opportunities for us to say, I'm not happy with where I am right now. I want to make some changes. And so as we wind this lesson to a close, it was a cheerleading sermon. It was a, let's do this. Let's make some changes. Let's make this church stronger this year by each individual making some choices. It's not something that we can measure. It's not something that we can monitor. As you look at the seven churches of Asia in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, most of the things the Lord is condemning or commending are things none of the rest of us could monitor or even know about. They're individual choices by individual Christians who strengthen or weaken the Lord's church. And so as we now prepare to sing the song of encouragement, I don't know if anything was said in this lesson that touched you. I don't know if there's anything said in this lesson that you consider to be pertinent to you. I hope there was. But if not, it's still your responsibility to do the things we've talked about in this lesson. And as we sing the song of encouragement this morning, if anyone in the audience recognizes that some changes definitely need to be made, I am not ready to meet the Lord, and I am not prepared to start my race and to renew my mind until I set aside those things in the past. And so as we sing the song this morning, if there's anyone in the audience who wants to become a Christian today or wants to remove the old sins from their lives by publicly confessing them, we give you that opportunity right now as we together stand and sing.